The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about your Giants on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Yes. You're now rocking with the best. But you already knew that. KM to AM. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Inside the 10 o'clock hour now. Coming up soon, Pat Ragazzo to talk Mets. But let's get back to your calls. Before the break right there in the update, I said we were going to talk comeback player of the year. I'll try and find my audio last year talking about Breece Hall being snubbed. They just don't like the Jets, man. They just don't look at the Jets as a real team in this NFL. I just was alluding to the fact that Aaron Rodgers came back from the Achilles. Kirk Cousins came back from the Achilles. J.K. Dobbins came back from the Achilles. Now, obviously, Kirk Cousins didn't have a good year and ultimately got benched. He's not going to be in the running. J.K. Dobbins is in there, and he got hurt. He missed some time this year, but he did have a banner year. He had a good year for himself, and you know, hopefully he's back with the Chargers. He's one of the guys. DeMar Hamlin last year kind of rubbed me the wrong way because DeMar Hamlin wasn't a starter. He didn't play. He was a special teamer. And they used a lot of caution with him last year. This year makes perfect sense. This year, DeMar Hamlin is the starting safety, a big part of that team, a big part of the reason that I want to see the Bills. And I get it with Sean McDermott. He shouldn't have said what he said. I won't mention what he said because if you mention what he says, then it brings it to light again. But the Bills have a lot of people like DeMar Hamlin, like Deion Dawkins from Rahway. And obviously Josh Allen, who I'm rooting for to see, you know, the Bills go winning. I think DeMar Hamlin winning comeback player of the year would be excellent this year. But he was nominated last year. He didn't win last year. Flacco won last year. But like Tua was in the group last year. I got to find my audio, like my little rant, of me talking about Breece Hall being snubbed. I think this year Joe Burrow is going to win it because Joe Burrow is not going to win MVP. Had an MVP type year. Him and Ja'Marr Chase talk about, you got a friend in me. LSU buddies, like Joe Burrow putting the ball in Ja'Marr Chase, they're going to have to run him his money. Remember all that? Remember all that in the beginning of the year and, him showing up and not practicing and wanting his money? I'm glad that he locked in and played. He made himself more money than he was going to get in the beginning of the year. They got to make him the highest paid receiver in the NFL, Triple Crown. So I expect Joe Burrow to win it. Sam Darnold being in it, Sam Darnold wasn't hurt. He was just on the bench. He was, I think, backing up Brock Purdy last year. So, and then Christian Gonzalez, I like his game. I think he's super solid. I've even imagined a world where the Patriots get Travis Hunter, and then you have Christian Gonzalez and Travis Hunter at corners. That's lockdown. So, comeback player of the year finalist, Joe Burrow, Sam Darnold, J.K. Dobbins, Christian Gonzalez, DeMar Hamlin. Aaron Rodgers snubbed. Aaron Rodgers had comparable stats to Patrick Mahomes, who everybody says is the greatest quarterback ever, right? Looking for his three-peat and his fourth ring. And he did really turn it on at the end of the year. And I just think you got to honor him because he's an all-time great doing it at 41 years old. And he did hit that 500 touchdown mark. I don't know. I felt like Aaron Rodgers deserved to be in there. But I guess when you only win five games and there's turmoil and whatever, they're not going to put you in there. But, like, Christian Gonzalez is in there as a cornerback. How many games did the Patriots win? 888-808-1019. Let's get these Pete Alonzo calls in before we go get Pat. Jacob is in Rockland County. What's up, Jake? You're on The Fan.
Hey, Keith. I want to know, if Pete Alonzo doesn't go to the Blue Jays, is there a chance that he goes to the Chicago Cubs?
I think so. I mean, where there's smoke, there's potentially fire. I think last year we heard about them being interested maybe in a trade for Pete. And what I've said about Pete now is with what the Dodgers are in the National League, everybody should be taking a look at their roster and their lineup and saying, can we compete with them? How can we get better? They could use another bat. The Cubs could be players.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. I think it's the Blue Jays right now, but I think that could be manufactured by Boris. We've heard the Angels. I follow a couple Mariners fans online, but the Mariners aren't going to do anything. The Mariners, you know, they need a bat in their lineup. I don't think they actually do it. Paul out on Long Island. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, Keith. Hey, thank you very much for taking my call. You're such a, I know you're a great Yankee fan, but I'm a Mets fan, and I think Pete Alonso should sign for the New York Mets. We need him. We need him. We have Soto. Like,
yeah, the Mets. The Mets got to sign him, though. I think Pete would love to sign with the Mets. He says he's always wanted to be a Met, right? He loves it here.
He does. And you know what? We need to sign him. I don't know what's going on with Steve Cohen. He's a Mets owner, and he's not going to sign him? Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, they're
what's going on?
They're playing the game. Thanks for the call, Paul. They're playing the market. They're playing the game. It's a negotiation. They have a line drawn in the sand. It's not a staring contest anymore. They had a Pete pivot. They went out and got A.J. Minter. They got Jesse Winker to return. They still could afford Pete, obviously, and I think it makes the most sense for both sides. But when you say, you know, that, you know, Pete needs to sign with the Mets, I think he wants to. I don't think he really wants to go to Canada. I don't think his wife wants to go to Canada. I don't think anybody wants to go to Canada. Blame Canada. In Queens, Angelo, you got it. You're in there. What's up, man?
Hey, Keith. Big fan of yours. I'm a season ticket holder of the Mets. And obviously last year, the Yankees had Judge protecting Soto. I thought this year that was going to be Pete. If Pete goes, there's nothing left on the free agent market. The only thing that I can think of is if they trade for Arenado. I mean, there's nothing else left to protect Soto in the lineup. And I don't want to see Beatty at third. The guy cannot hit in the majors. He only hits at AAA. I mean, I just don't understand. I mean, the lineup would be deep, but there's no protection for Soto.
Right.
I just don't know what Sturridge is doing.
Yeah, like the idea you had is the idea that I think all of us had, right? When you saw Soto have his best offensive season, finished third in MVP voting, and I watched every single one of those games and at-bats, you know, those pitchers know they rather walk Soto, or they not rather walk Soto. They know Judge is lurking, and sometimes they might be a little off. And Yankee fans, especially in the beginning of the game, I remember us talking about how everybody starter has to face Soto and Judge. They have to bat second and third. And I mean, sometimes if you got to throw a get me over strike, if you got to throw a fastball before you get to Judge, Soto is on it. And if you're missing, you're putting Soto on, and then you got to throw strikes to Judge, and now you're down two zip. So yeah, you would think with the power that Alonso has, they would follow the same formula. They followed so many other same formulas of taking Yankees from Carlos Mendoza to Harrison Bader, Severino, Clay Holmes. Now, like, you would think they would say, hey, we watched what the Yankees did last year. We're gonna have a power hitter right behind him. But nah, they don't want to extend for Pete. They don't want to give Pete what he wants, and that number went from 90 to like 70 million, and here we are. Now the rumor is Pete is going elsewhere and going to be a Toronto Blue Jay.
Eric, thank you.
Thanks for the call, and we'll see what Brett Beatty does. If you know, that's another thing about last year with the Mets. This time last year, you know, like a Tyrone Taylor signing would happen, or an Adrian Hauser, or Joey Wendell. And folks would be like, oh, this is a punt year. This is a valuation year. They're not winning anything this year. Stearns had a plan. And I always give him and Mendoza props for, you know, not just being passengers, being active passengers, not being bystanders, like grabbing the wheel, right? Joey Wendell, not getting it done, goodbye. Adrian Hauser, you're not a good enough starter. You're not good enough in the bullpen, goodbye. It's like moving Lindor to leadoff. Jorge Lopez, you want to throw your glove? You want to make a mockery out of us? You're gone. Like, they did things to tweak that bullpen, change that lineup, and then even at the trade deadline, bring in a few pieces to make the Mets what they ultimately ended up being. I give them a ton of respect for that. But it is kind of puzzling now that last year, being an evaluation year, right? I remember Mets fans mad that J.D. Martinez signed because they really wanted to see Mark Vientos. I'm like, you guys never have a DH. Since the universal DH has started, like, you guys have to watch Daniel Vogelback take at-bats. Like, J.D. Martinez is a professional hitter. He's only going to help, and he did. He had some clutch moments. Well, you don't have him now. And with Juan Soto in the lineup, he's going to do a lot. But it is important to have another threat behind him. And I don't know how you're banking on that being Vientos or Jesse Winker or Nimmo or whatever. Like, I don't know. I think Pete makes too much sense. We've talked around this for weeks, for months now. And now we're going to take a break. We're going to bring in my guy, Pat Ragazzo, who covers the Mets for Sports Illustrated. And, yeah, we're going to talk all through the Pete Alonso situation, where the Mets are, talk a little bit about this amazing day fest coming up this weekend. You know, talk about things like even the last caller mentioned, like there's nobody on the market now. Like there was a thought that they could sign Anthony Santander. No, he goes to the Blue Jays. So Mets fans, stay tuned. Yankee fans that are online, stay there. Giants fans that are online, stay in there. We're going to get to you.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Right now, straight out of Hoboken, no joking. Me too. My guy Pat Ragazzo covering the Mets and Yankees on Sports Illustrated. We're going to talk mostly Mets right now. What up, Pat?
What's up, Keith? How you doing? Thanks so much for having me back on.
Good, man. Didn't mean to interrupt your Friday night. I know we were texting back and forth, kind of waiting on the Pete Alonso news to drop, and it didn't drop, so I'll start there. I don't know how valid this is. I don't know how much I believe this is a real thing. I think this might have been a Friday night news dump, maybe a Scott Boras engineered thing. I think this might be one of those things that gets floated out there to try and maybe force the Mets' hand, you know, going, it's not even Friday, it's Thursday, going into the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, my eyes hurt from following all the rumors today. As of early afternoon, I would say this morning, I received a text that the Blue Jays are not close currently with any moves, any players of significance. And shortly thereafter, we had heard that talks were advancing, but nothing's done and no guarantee between Alonso and the Jays. Then we heard again that the Mets and, or the Jays, I should say, and Alonso are in serious talks. And then we heard from some Blue Jays reporters shortly after that, that nothing is close on Alonso or Max Scherzer, which was also part of the rumor floating around today. So a lot of rumors and a lot of, struggles for everybody trying to keep up with it to find out what's real and what's not. But based off everything I've heard and everyone I've spoken to, nothing's close and nothing's happened. So even though maybe talks, it's definitely possible that talks have advanced to a more serious stage, but nothing seems imminent at the moment. There's no guarantee that he goes to the Jays, even though it kind of seems very, very, very likely that he's not going to return to the Mets. I would be very surprised if he does come back to the Mets after all this, but then again, you never know.
Yeah, that's the next thing too. I was pretty sure that the Mets pivoted because they obviously, you know, there was rumors last year that they needed, or not last year, last week that they needed an answer soon, and then they obviously go get Minter, they get Jesse Winker, and it's like, okay, they're moving on. But I just think as this goes on, and there's literally no market, no offer out there reported for Pete Alonso, it leaves the door slightly open for a return, slightly open for whether it's Pete to come crawling back and take less or whether it's Steve Cohen to come in and say, yeah, okay, enough. You know, we want him to be in Florida with us. Let's give a little bit more. Do you think that the relationship is fractured? Do you think that a bridge has been burned here? Do you think that, you know, Scott Boras and Pete are just moving on to any other takers? Because I think it would be really unfortunate to see Pete Alonso leave New York, leave what he did with the Mets, leave this Mets team that needs him to just say, you know, my pride is in the way. You know, I've got a chip on my shoulder. I'll take less money to go anywhere else.
That's really the million-dollar question right now. Is there bad feelings? I don't believe there's bad feelings on the Mets side at all. They told Alonso to go test the market, and Alonso's camp made an offer to the Mets, and they countered. And Alonso, it really depends. Like, is he going to swallow his pride and come back to the Mets and try and work something out? Because very clearly at this point, if he doesn't go to the Blue Jays, we don't know where else he's going to go. Like you said, the market's really not there, and he hasn't gotten that long-term deal and probably won't get that long-term deal that he's been seeking. And he turned down a 7-year, $158 million extension in 2023. And right now, that's just offers of that magnitude just aren't out there. So if they were to come back together, let's say a couple weeks from now, it's spring training, or spring training is about to start. We are getting close to the date already. We're about 3 weeks, just about 3 weeks away, maybe a little less. And Alonso's still out there. Then maybe they can meet in the middle. Like maybe it's going to involve probably both sides giving a little more and giving in a little bit to each other and coming up with that compromise. But at the same time, yeah, it could very well be a situation where Alonso, maybe he does feel disrespected based off everything he's done for the franchise. But at the same time, the Mets have made it clear how much he means to them as an organization, and he's made it pretty clear in his closing statements before the season ended and they got eliminated from the postseason that the Mets are very important to him. He loves New York and he wants to be back. So maybe that does leave the door open a little bit, a crack, and maybe that crack becomes a little bigger as we progress here in the next couple weeks or so.
Yeah, when I look at the National League, and I keep talking about last weekend, the Dodgers signing Roky Suzuki, Tanner Scott, and Kirby Yates, I'm like, okay, that's another layer of this. The Mets need him in the lineup. He needs to be with a contender in the Mets instead of just leaving to go somewhere else. Do you think that has anything to sway their opinion? Do you think that has anything to like make them kind of reconsider? Because everybody's talking about these internal options, and we'll get there next, but like, do you think that the Mets feel like they got to up the ante? They got to reconsider just because the Dodgers eliminated them last year, and the Dodgers have had the best offseason after winning the World Series.
I believe that's why front offices are opportunistic, and the opportunity comes up, and I don't think that Alonso will be signing with the Mets for the deal that he was rumored to have turned down, which was 3 years and probably a little over $70 million. But if the opportunity arises and the Mets know they need to ante up and get a little more firepower just to have a chance against the Dodgers this year. They won two games in the NLCS. It was one more game than the Yankees were able to win the World Series than the Dodgers. But still, I mean, the Dodgers only have gotten stronger after winning the World Series. They've committed to getting better, and they've spent a lot more, and they spent a lot last offseason too, and it resulted in that title. But yeah, I think that could also, it could lead the Mets to wind up bringing Alonso back. But based off conversations I've had and people I've spoken to, the most realistic plan B as of last week when we first heard that the Mets were pivoting and saw that through their plan of action to bring in Minter and Winker, that the Mets believe and at least are comfortable and open to the idea of moving Mark Vientos to first base. And he has been training at first base this offseason. And then Brett Baty and Ronnie Mauricio and Luis Angel Acuna, even though he's his size, it doesn't really make him that good of a fit at third base. But they will be the ones most likely competing for the third base job if Vientos moves to the primary first base position. The Mets seem to be prepared to do that as a pivot plan, but at the same time, it is creating more question marks, and bringing in Alonso and keeping Vientos at third makes the Mets stronger on paper and does give them that better chance to hang with the Dodgers next year.
We're on the phone right now with Pat Ragazzo, who covers the Mets and Yankees on SI. I'm talking about these internal options like you just mentioned. All the excitement from getting the generational Juan Soto and dreaming about a dynasty World Series and the bar being set as getting back to the NLCS at minimum, right, to hopefully like face off against the Dodgers. I think that excitement has evaporated. I think that excitement has worn off. It'll come back, obviously, when you get to see Juan Soto. But like not getting Pete and not getting top of the market guys either in the rotation or in the lineup, you know, I think there are fans that are kind of saying now, hey, in our own division, it's going to be tough. Jerks and Profar signs with the Braves. The Phillies are the Phillies. They're going to be there. The Dodgers get even stronger. What do you think the Mets fans are feeling going into the Amazing Day, and we'll talk about that, with like, all right, we're going to really move forward with Brett Baty at third, moving Vientos, which I've said, we don't know if Vientos is going to be able to repeat what he did last year, especially going through a position change. How do you think Mets fans are feeling right now, losing Pete, the polar bear, who's been a face of the franchise, and, you know, all of the hype from Juan Soto early in the winter meetings, and fast forward now, you know, weeks later to being like, all right, this is the lineup. This is where we're going to be at. This is the rotation. This is where we're going to be at. It's going to be tough to even get back to the postseason, let alone the NLCS.
Well, I can confirm with you, Keith, that my replies and my mentions on Twitter, anytime I've reported about the possibility of an internal going internally at first base and third base, has created hysterics amongst the fans. A lot of them are going to be sick if Alonso leaves. Some of them I've seen have accepted the fate that he's not coming back, which it seems like through all the reporting that's out there right now, the Mets have kind of are at least assuming that he's not coming back, that he's going to wind up with another team, even though that team might not be necessarily out there with the offers that he wants. But yeah, I think that there's three different moods that could come about in Amazing Day. It's going to be P Pete Alonso themed, whether it's a good way, a moderate way, or in the low category of if he signs with another team and he's not coming back, the fans are going to be upset, especially at Amazing Day on Saturday. The moderate of if he's still out there, it's going to be a million questions about Alonso, or if they surprise us and he comes back before Amazing Day. I mean, that would be theatrical, I would say. I don't think that you could write a better script if you're a Mets fan, but I just don't think that's probably going to be the case, that Pete Alonso is going to be back with the Mets by Saturday, less than 2 days from now, for Amazing Day. But yeah, I mean, the fans, the majority of them are upset, you know, by the possibility that he's not coming back, that he could wind up with another team, and that they could wind up not adding another bat to replace him. And there's really not anyone else out there that comes to mind. I mean, Alex Bregman really is a name they've been loosely linked to all offseason, but there's really been nothing there. And maybe that changes. And now we've heard of the Astros, re-engaging with Bregman. And I believe per the Athletic that there's a 6-year, $156 million deal on the table for Bregman from the Astros. And I just don't really see the Mets dishing out that money, especially to Alex Bregman, after they wouldn't give it to Pete Alonso, their franchise cornerstone and homegrown star. So, things could change. I mean, we saw JD Martinez sign at the 11th hour of spring training last year with the Mets, and no one really expected that one, but it was an opportunity that came kind of out of thin air, that the market just wasn't there for him. But that's more so the reason for the Mets to continue to kind of wait it out and see how this thing plays out.
Well, I mean, if it doesn't happen tonight and it doesn't happen tomorrow as far as Pete going elsewhere, it would be theatric for the Mets to break the news Saturday morning that, you know, they gave a little bit, and Pete re-signed with the Mets for 3 years, $100 million, or whatever it might be. Either way, WFAN will be there to save the day. We've got a live Rico Bronya with our very own Evan Roberts and Pete Hoffman. Maybe Evan will have a couple copies of My Mets Bible, and then Sal Licata and Joe Beningo will be broadcasting live on WFAN from Amazing Day as well. So what else do you know about Amazing Day, like what they have planned, who's going to be there? Fill in the audience on what they can expect going to Citi Field on Saturday for the Fan Fest.
Yeah, so the Mets actually have a star-studded lineup that's going to be in attendance, and we received that, I believe, just a day or two ago. And I was even surprised. I mean, because in the offseason, you never know. Like, guys are out of state training in warmer areas, whether it be Florida or whether they go home to other parts of the country. Maybe some of the Latin players are in their own home countries. You just never know. But the Mets are pretty much going to have every name there, and or at least for the media schedule, they are all pretty much slated to talk. That includes Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Lindor, Mark Vientos, Brett Beatty, Jesse Winker, Edwin Diaz, Alvarez, Mike Piazza speaking, Terry Collins. Juan Soto is going to be one of the last ones to speak in the later portion of the afternoon. Carlos Mendoza will be there, but pretty much every big name on the Mets right now is going to be there, and the faces of the team will be in attendance. So fans aren't going to be disappointed going out to Citi on Saturday. It seems like it's going to be probably a madhouse from what I heard. A lot of people were talking about how they weren't able to get tickets, that it sounds like a sold-out event. And I think that it's going to be it's going to depend on the mood, whatever happens with Alonso from now until then. But I think that it's going to be a pretty hectic event with everybody who's going out there.
You know how we really get crazy? They make the trade for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. right before it starts on Saturday. What do you think about that, man? I've been telling people there's no way. Like, I'm going from the Blue Jays' vantage point. They signed Santander. There's rumblings about Pete. There's also rumblings that they could offer him $400 million. And when you're Vladdy and you know that they offered Soto $700 million, they offered Otani a big deal, then he's going to try and get his money out of the Rogers folks as well. I've said two things, Pat. There's no way that the Blue Jays trade Vladimir Guerrero before opening day. And then if they get in the season and they're competing in a weak American league, why would they trade their best player at the deadline? And also, if you're a Mets fan, why would you want to give away Ronnie Mauricio or, I don't know, Brandon Sproat, when you can just pay for the guy in free agency? What do you think about, you know, the Mets fans kind of dreaming of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. being their future first baseman?
At this point in time, I'd say don't count on it. I mean, the Blue Jays are focused on retaining Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and extending him. Now, there's a rumor out there that there's Vladdy has a self-imposed deadline of February 17th, the first official day of spring training workouts. And if they don't get it done by then he's done with negotiating, and he's not going to negotiate during spring training or in season, which is common. But the Blue Jays leadership group, from a baseball standpoint, they're all on the hot seat, and they know it. Ross Atkins, their GM, Mark Shapiro is going into last year of his deal. Like you mentioned, the AL is weak. Like, a lot of people are counting out the Blue Jays maybe, but I don't know. They got Santander now. You know, count on a bounce back year from Bo Bichette. They have Vladdy, whether they extend him or not, and as long as they don't trade him, which seems very unlikely at this point, they're going to have a chance to compete. And if they, especially if they sign Alonso, like, there's no reason why the Blue Jays can't win a wild card this year if they hold up, at least from a starting pitching standpoint and health-wise. I mean, they improved their bullpen. They brought back Yimi Garcia coming off a good year. They signed Jeff Hoffman. I think that the Blue Jays should have a shot to compete for an AL playoff spot, and that's most likely what it's going to take for everybody saving their jobs in the front office for the Blue Jays this year, and that's how they're operating. And again, if they can't get an extension done before that February 17th date with Vladdy, then yeah, they're really not inclined to make a trade, and yeah, they would get a haul of prospects, and they would get back a bigger package than the Padres got for Juan Soto from the Yankees, and that's crazy to think about, but it doesn't benefit the people in making the decisions now, because if they do that and they make, yes, it's selfless to make a move for the better future of the organization, but if they're not going to be around and they're operating to save their jobs, like, that just, it just doesn't make sense. Even if they do bring in Alonso, especially if they bring in Alonso, then they have a legitimate shot to do something this year. But if they don't bring in Alonso, even it's a pipe dream right now. And that's all we've heard up until this point, that Vladdy, the trade for Vladdy before the season starts, just is probably not on the cards for the Blue Jays.
Well, I think the future is now. Excuse me, I had to sneeze. I think Mets fans are just coming to terms with, like, this is Francisco Lindor's team. This is Juan Soto's team, and Pete and DeGrom are things of the past. Hey, Pat, you're the man. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Likewise, Keith. Thanks a lot for having me.
888-808-1019 as I go online to get my Amazing Day tickets. They're all sold out, but for a nice $960, you can get one Amazing Day VIP pass to go to Citi Field in January. No game, no Pete, no DeGrom, but maybe you can get a selfie with Juan Soto for $960. Why not? Why not? These Mets fans are rich. I don't know, man. I don't know. $960. You better get a swag pack. You better get a life-size Grimace to leave with, a playoff pumpkin, a rally pimp suit. There better be Mr. and Mrs. Met action figures in a shopping bag. One of those, you know how you can't have the plastic bags in Jersey anymore when you shop. I don't know if that's a New York thing, too. I think it is. Yeah, I need one of those Mets bags like that. They better throw in a Clay Holmes hockey jersey, all that for $960.
Got any ideas that will work to help your favorite teams? Let them know about it by calling 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game live on Paramount Plus.
Okay, quickly here. Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM to AM, about an hour left and minutes before we go to the next break and the update. New segment, Make It About Yourself. Earlier in the week, I made it about myself with Al Golden. I made it about myself with Russell Wilson, with Matthew Stafford. I have degrees of separation from all three of them in my past. A little bit of football that I played. You know, I got the idea because I used to make a joke like, here's another time Keith references sitting on the bench playing college football. But, like, I mean, it ties in. This is Sports Talk Radio, and this is me talking, and I actually did. So make it about yourself. We were just talking about Amazing Day and the Mets Fan Fest. Still tickets available for $960 VIP. Well, if you're a Yankee fan and you have no interest in going to Citi Field in January and paying almost $1,000 to do so, $20 is all you need. A week from tomorrow, and then Saturday and Sunday, January 31st, February 1st, February 2nd, American Dream, Pinstripe Pride, year three. I'll be hosting. I just saw Susan Waldman post that she'll be out there again with Michael Kay and John Sterling. This year, Devin Williams is going to pull up before he throws one pitch for the Yankees. Oswaldo Cabrera will be there. So we have active Yankees that are going to be there. CeCe Sabathia just announced as this year's first ballot Hall of Famer. CeCe will be in the house. Reggie Jackson will be there. Hideki Matsui will be there. Bernie Williams, my guy Bernie, will be there. A bunch of Yankees past and some present will be there. Willie Randolph will be there. Don Mattingly will be there. Ron Guidry, Greg Nettles. So what I'm making it about myself for is because this is my third year going there. Brian Cashman's going to be there this year. That's different. Cashman has never shown up. And I cannot wait to see fans interact with Cashman because I guarantee you they have a different tone when they actually are talking to Cashman. It's going to be, oh, Cashman, great offseason. Oh, Cashman, you're the best. So making it about myself, I've hosted this the last 3 years. Every year it gets bigger and better. There's more fans there, and it's like a kickoff to the baseball season before we get to spring training, before the baseball season starts. It's like the Yankee Fan Fest. I know once upon a time the Yankees actually used to do a fan fest. There's like a story about, you know, Jeter showing up late or how crazy it got. I just think now it'd be, you know, Yankee Stadium would be overrun with fans trying to do a fan fest. You talk about tickets being sold out, they'd be sold out in seconds. But tickets are not sold out. Go to www.halloffamesignings.com or look up Hall of Fame Signings on Instagram or go to my Twitter. I've been posting about it. It's a big convention-type space where the players will be signing and you get in line to get your memorabilia signed. There'll be merch, memorabilia, collectibles for sale. I know my guy Ball Vinny is always set up with the Bleacher Creatures merch and his section. You'll also see some of the writers like Brian Hoke and Mark Feinstein out there selling their books and meeting fans. It's just a good Yankee vibe, man. I look forward to seeing you guys out there. $20 to get in. And then if you look on the website, halloffamesignings.com, there are prices for each player or person that, you know, you want to get stuff signed from. They're all different. Roger Clemens will be out there. Wade Boggs will be out there. Nick Swisher will be out there. It's just, it's a good place to be if you're a Yankee fan. It's at American Dream in the mall over there. And it's been fun the last 2 years. I'm looking forward to it this year. Okay. What came across my desk? Going back to that other news segment. This is something I'm bringing up as we have a couple Yankee calls, and I'll probably prompt some other Yankee calls. Yeah, I know the Yankees added a couple random arms. I don't really care about that. We'll care about them when their names come up during the season. But take it with a grain of salt, maybe. Bob Nightingale tweeted out, "The Houston Astros are keeping the door ajar for free agent third baseman Alex Bregman to return." I was just talking to Pat about this. He said, "But they are not optimistic. Bregman has serious offers from at least two teams. We've heard that the Tigers were one of those teams, right? Connected him with AJ Hinch." Bob Nightingale goes on to say, "If the Astros pulled it off, Bregman could stay at third base. Isak Paredes could move to second base. And Jose Altuve would move out to left field." So immediately I see this. Immediately I put on Twitter, Jose Altuve in left field in front of the left field bleachers in Yankee Stadium. Yes, please sign me up. Get that done. Take that deal. Take that six-year, $156 million deal, Bregman. Go back, continue your cheating Astros legacy. And I would love to see what left field is like with Jose Altuve standing out there for a whole series. 888-808-1019. Let's take a quick call before we break here. Moose is in Jamaica. Moose, you're on the Fan.
You're a Keith. What a do?
You're, you know.
Yeah, doing the talk says, I feel you, my dog. So, yo, like, the young Yankee fan who called crying as my heart goes out to him, like, bro, relax. Like, Cashman, the organization knows what they're doing. Like, real quick, with Alonzo, 250 hitter, 40 bombs, 100 plus, they might lose him. Soto to the Mets, 300 plus hitter, usually 40 bombs, 100 plus RBIs. Like, I feel your pain, Mets, but like these teams have like calculated MIT graduates working in their front office, calculating projections for seasons and stuff. So we just have to trust and know what they're doing. As much as it hurts as a fan, there's a reason why they get paid the big bucks to do what they do, and we have to just sit and watch and root for win, lose, or draw.
Correct. Yeah, we got to go and lean on analytics and numbers and, you know, these quote-unquote baseball nerds. And that's what I say. When people talk about what Pete did in the postseason and that should earn him a little bit more money from him, I'm like, nah, they crunch these numbers in the regular season. They got to go through a regular season. It's business. There is no sympathy. There is no fandom. There is no sentimental value. David Stearns is in year two. He had a great year in year one. He's going to do what he sees fit. He's going to do what he wants because he has a vision for this team, right? He plans on being here much longer than Pete Alonso. He plans on being here as long as Juan Soto is here. So I get it. I get it. But I understand. I'm a fan. Like, if I'm a fan, I understand the fans being upset and not agreeing with it as well. And they're kind of right, too.
And I'll leave you with this, Keith. I'm with you on what you said. Soto deserves all the money he got from the Mets. All the money we'll offer them as the what Cashman and Steinbrenner, have offered them. But at the same time, people have been complaining about Stanton's contract. Now I'm a LeMahieu's contract. Soto would have just been another, and then we have to worry about Judge and Cole and Rodon.
Rodon's about to say Rodon's contract. Max Fried, I think they could have done with Soto, but I don't know if they do that with Soto's contract. Thanks for the call, Moose. 888-808-1019. Fans are going to complain about contracts, but like I said before, right, in another universe, in an alternate realm, if Juan Soto stayed with the Yankees and the Yankees did give him that $765 million and the Yankees were able to get to the World Series with the tandem of Soto and Judge and then maybe some of the trades that they made for Devin Williams, for Fernando Cruz, no one would care about it. No one would care about the contract, the years at the end. It's worth it to win a World Series. 888-808-1019. And I think it's got to be the same thing for the Mets and the Mets fans. Welcome in, Mets fans. Welcome into being Big Brother. Welcome into being in Market One. Welcome into being one of the teams that spends money. I saw a post today put out there on Instagram putting the amount of money spent, you know, with CBS Sports, actually, let me give them their credit. The amount of money spent by the Mets, the Yankees, and the Dodgers, it's $1.5 billion combined in free agent spending this offseason. The other 27 teams in baseball are underneath that. Combined, 27 teams combined have spent $1.3 billion. Three teams combined, three of the last four teams standing, spent $1.5 billion. So you do the math. You figure out who's trying to win, who's trying to compete, who's big bro, who's in the big market, who's trying to get better, who's trying to improve on their roster. It's all right there. Interesting. And, back to Alonso, I think fans will get over it if the team is good. That simple. I said I shook that cold a little bit, but it's like the ends of it. Fans will forget about it. You'll turn the page. You will get over it. If the team is good, the team is winning. If the internal options you have are producing, if Juan Soto is mashing home runs and Lindor is playing like an MVP again. But you know what? Something else I said, and I'll say this again in favor of bringing Pete back. Like Juan Soto had I'm not putting any negative energy out. Trust me, I'm a positive energy guy. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. I always want to see the best competing. I even had somebody the other night that was like, if the Dodgers get hurt, that's the only way I could see them stumbling, but they have reinforcements for that. Someone was like, why would you even put that out there? I'm like, it's facts. It's sports. These guys get hurt. Juan Soto had a wrist injury against the Dodgers last year. They shut him down for a series. Who knows if that is completely gone, if that lingers, if that pops up again. I'm pretty sure at the end of the season for the Mets, as I talk about them being on their last leg, nine lives, barely getting in, like, I'm pretty sure at the end of the year, Lindor's back flared up. He had a back problem. The way he slid and, like, came off the bat. Like, what if that gets re-aggravated? What if that gets triggered again? It's baseball. Anybody can get hurt. They can get hit by a pitch and get hurt. And when I look at this Mets lineup, when I look at this Mets infield, you're one injury away from absolutely needing a Pete Alonso. If Lindor goes down, if Soto goes down, if any of these guys go down, it spells trouble for you, where you're not going to be able to compete in your own division. And you got the target on your back now. It's going to be a fun baseball season because of the star power of Juan Soto and Lindor and some of the other pieces with the Mets. But you have a target on your back now. There are teams looking for revenge, and there's no more lovable losers. There's no more little engine that could. There's no more fun story. Welcome into being big brother in the big market. You got to win right away, and you got to have sustained winning. And there can't be a down stretch. There can't be a down period, especially if you're not going to bring back a bat like Pete Alonso, and you're not going to add another bat, and you're going to go through your internal options, right? We look at the Giants, and we're about to go to the break in the update. And we talk so much about the New York football Giants and how the first year they were ahead of schedule and how much that hurt them because it was fool's gold. And, you know, they won these games and they went to the playoffs and they were supposed to be in a rebuild. And now, in the last 2 years, they're in a rebuild. What if last year was fool's gold? What if the magic that the Mets were able to capture, lightning in a bottle, they're not able to capture that again? Then what are we going to say about David Stearns and the decision-making, whatever? And I don't know. I trust David Stearns. I think it's the end of the LOL Mets with the combination of David Stearns and Steve Cohen. But it's baseball, Susan. It's hard to do. It's hard to predict. It's hard to be consistent. It's hard to build a consistent winner. And if anybody knows that, the New York Mets know that.